It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Folklore around Devil's Lake in Baraboo includes the legend of a mythological squid or octopus-like monster spotted in the water.
That's just one of several lake monster sightings around Wisconsin and the Midwest area that show up in a new book of maps of the Great Lakes region.
The maps highlight the culture, ecology, infrastructure, and economy and monsters of the area, and they tell a visual story about the Great Lakes and the people who live around them.
Alex B. Hill is a cartographer, an anthropologist, and an adjunct professor at Wayne State University in Detroit. His new book is called Great Lakes in 50 Maps. Alex, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
All right, so you're a cartographer, you do data visualizations. What made you want to use those skills to tell the story of the Great Lakes?
Yeah, the Great Lakes are where I'm born and raised. I can't say I ever thought about being from the Great Lakes, but I definitely am. I didn't really realize it until I started mapping it out. But my upbringing, my childhood, and my family are all across the Great Lakes region. My family would vacation at Point Pelee National Park in Ontario. We would regularly drive through both parts of Michigan to visit cousins in Duluth. So we were really all over the Great Lakes region. And that was kind of nice to be able to tie some of the data to my own upbringing.
And that's interesting to me. I'm from Michigan, spent most of my life now in Wisconsin, and I never really thought of myself as a Great Lakesian. But looking at your maps, there's a lot that that unites this region, a lot of things that bring us together. We don't feel that shared identity, but it's there somehow, it feels like.
Right, absolutely. And it's, you know, when I see people with there's that Great Lakes bumper sticker, window sticker on people's cars, you know, you can find that. Sure, there's a lot of people in Michigan with those, but, you know, I see those all across the region as well. And it really is, you know, whether it's just thinking about the economy of the region that, you know, in some parts is fostered by the lakes, but then also just the tourism that happens across states in our Great Lakes region is really, really amazing.
And when we talk about the Midwest, well, you can get arguments, maybe even violent arguments about which states count and which states don't. Great Lakes region, you define it and your maps define it. You get a couple different footprints. Can you talk about how you define the Great Lakes region in your maps?
Yeah, that was a bit of a debate because the publisher I'm working with, Belt Publishing, you know, they focus on the Rust Belt region, which that's its own debate. What is that? and so then, you know, we started thinking about what does that mean for the Great Lakes? Because we, you know, clearly if you're a state or a province that borders the Great Lakes, you're included in that. But then the Great Lakes watershed extends a little further. And if you're really thinking about kind of that economic, I think it was billed as the Great Lakes megalopolis, kind of that economic region, you start reaching further south, kind of away from the lakes. So I chose to keep a broad definition. It still ends up being the same 8 U.S. states and 2 Canadian provinces that have the most interplay with the lakes and interaction in the region.
Turning to the maps now, 50 of them here, and they're, you know, some very serious, you know, impact of climate change, for example, some more lighthearted, access to football teams and things like that. We'll get into some of the details. How did you decide what maps made the cut?
That was tough because I previously did the Detroit in 50 Maps book. And at that point, I had been mapping Detroit for 10 years. So I had a lot to pull from. But for the Great Lakes book, I had just started as a kind of cartographer in residence for the Great Lakes Now program on Detroit PBS. And so I'd made maybe a dozen maps of the Great Lakes region. I hadn't really explored what was out there. So I started with a spreadsheet. and I started asking family and friends and colleagues, you know, what's interesting to you about the Great Lakes? And I think I had a spreadsheet of about, I want to say it was about 75 different ideas. And some things, you know, data was easy to track down and tell the story about. Others, it just wasn't going to be possible. But thankfully, you know, there's a great data set of lake monsters. So that made it.
Let's start with the lake monsters. Sure. There are more than I have heard of, actually, that show up on your maps. What kind of stories maybe surprised you about, you put it very politely, something like, well, there isn't really scientific evidence for these, but what struck you about some of these lake monster stories?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, just being able to see what are they call the sturgeon, the dinosaur fish, and then you have the muskie as well. You know, if you saw those in a lake, I might think that there was a sea serpent in there as well. For me, you know, I might have to create the sea serpent road trip book or something after this, because I was surprised that there were so many too. But you know, it even went beyond just sea serpents. I think it was a lake in Illinois that had a oversized turtle story. Somewhere along Lake Superior, there's a Black Panther. So there's a lot of interesting lore around the Great Lakes.
You share some of the cultural history around the Great Lakes, including a lot of the indigenous connections and the sources of names of, in some cases, the lakes themselves and the regions. What kind of things did you find that you represent in the text or on the maps about the names that attach themselves on and around the lakes?
Yeah, I was most surprised that a lot of the names that we use currently are either adulterations or, right, you misheard the name and now we call it this and spell it in a different way. But I was really surprised that a lot of those indigenous names still are still in use in different forms. But then that was a big piece of the book research for me, was kind of going back to, you know, those various European expansions in the quote unquote New World, and just the indigenous connections with water were so significant, and that showed up in a lot of their naming practices across the Great Lakes region.
We're talking to anthropologist and cartographer Alex B. Hill about his new book, Great Lakes in 50 Maps, 50 maps that tell the story, the physical, the cultural, the economic story of the Great Lakes region. Surfing. People around the country may not think of the Great Lakes as a surfing hotspot. In Wisconsin, we know Sheboygan and elsewhere on the shores of Lake Michigan, and you have a surfing map. And that seems like our surfing in the Great Lakes is concentrated mostly in Lake Michigan, you found.
Yeah, it's definitely, I was honestly surprised that it's an activity that you can do in any of the Great Lakes, somewhere. The first story that I ever heard was the guy who was surfing in Lake Superior and had icicles stuck in his beard. I don't know if I would choose to surf there. And then, you know, right now we have there's a new organization. I think it's the Great Lakes Surfing Association, that I think they're trying to put together one of their, I can't remember if they've already had a surfing event or if they're planning one, but it's definitely gaining popularity. I don't know if we're going to get, you know, California level, but the Great Lakes have some pretty significant waves and swells. You know, I guess the partner map to that is the shipwrecks. That really demonstrate our how large our lakes are and the height that the waters can really get.
I want to dig into a couple of the themes. One is the environment. You've got maps on the impact of climate change, invasive species risk, wetlands, and things like that. As you assembled these environmentally themed maps of the Great Lakes region, what kind of things struck you and stood out to you?
The thing that stood out the most to me, you know, whether I was talking with someone working in the policy arena or even just researchers at various universities, they kept talking to me about how the climate regions and the temperature zones were going to just keep moving north. So in particular, there's a map there of sugar maples, where we get our maple syrup. And you know, Ontario has a lock on producing the most maple syrup, and maybe they might end up producing all of it because that that climate region is just going to keep moving north, and we're going to lose a lot of sugar maples in the U.S. states.
And that sugar maple map takes me to my next theme, that's environmental, but also economic. And you've got some amazing maps of things like transportation infrastructure, power plants across the region, and more. What kind of stories do you tell when it comes to the economics of the Great Lakes region?
Yeah, that's really where that Great Lakes megalopolis comes in, and just the level of trade that we have going on between our various states. And the economic benefit that the lakes provide, it's in the billions of dollars just from thinking about freight shipping, which, there's a good amount of it on the Great Lakes, but it's nothing like the port cities on the ocean coasts. I think when we think about things like infrastructure, it's easy to not think about how connected we actually are. with some of the more recent tariff discussions, parts of Michigan are supplied by Canadian power. And so we're even doing kind of international infrastructure sharing.
I'm looking at your wind turbine map here, and this is one where just the visuals really stand out. Wisconsin, compared to neighboring states, especially Illinois and Minnesota, really lagging. Very, very small hexagons mapping our wind turbines versus huge regions in Michigan, too, Illinois, Minnesota. Could you talk about the value of data visualizations and maybe showing missed opportunities for some parts of the region?
Right, absolutely. So I think some of these hopefully highlight where different states have taken on different policy angles. Some have gone further into clean energy than others. I think, we can look at the data and see how well some of those have performed versus different states that have decided not to invest in clean energy as much.
You have mixed in often as a chapter heading some historical maps of the Great Lakes region. How was that a fun part of the research on this, looking at how your cartographic predecessors had viewed our region?
Oh, yes. That was, I think some of the most fun is looking at those old maps of the Great Lakes region and just how wrong they were. they really had no idea what they were getting into or looking at. That nearly caused us to have a war with Ohio, us being Michigan, Ohio. Because the southernmost tip of Lake Michigan was supposed to be the kind of the straight line that went across as the southernmost border of Michigan. But early cartographers had the lake completely wrong. It was way bigger than they had imagined. And so that generated a border dispute between Michigan and Ohio.
Shots were fired.
Were mobilized.
Yes.
Yes, right.
And that's why the Upper Peninsula is part of Michigan and not Wisconsin.
Right.
in the ultimate compromise. I wanted to ask, sometimes in the media, I'm going to look for data on whatever. And it turns out, nobody's keeping data on whatever. Were there maps you were hoping to do and just found like there was a gulf, there was a deficit of data that meant you really didn't have a map to make?
Yeah, there definitely were. I started with a list of about 75 ideas, and ultimately had to drop a number of them because it was either too difficult to find the data or track it down. One example I did end up making the map, but it took a lot of extra work because I wanted to look at the volume of cargo going through these different shipping ports on the Great Lakes, and there's no single source. You either have to try to hunt the data down from each individual port authority, or you pay for the data from some other vendor that's actually collecting it. And so that made it tough.
And finally, having done all these maps, and you've been in the Midwest and the Great Lakes all your life, but did this experience make you want to visit any more parts of the Great Lakes region that you haven't been to yet?
Absolutely. I really want to visit Wisconsin more. the most
Good answer.
the most I've the most I've visited is you know, being from a peninsula. I went to Door County. Yeah, I'd love to do more exploring in Wisconsin.
Oh, and finally, you're a map guy. An argument in my family, being from Michigan, my family, raised in Wisconsin. Which state is the Mitten State?
Oh, well, there's only one Mitten State, and that's definitely Michigan.
And I agree. And I don't know how anybody could see it different, but I promise you they're out there. Alex, it's been a lot of fun. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Alex B. Hill is an anthropologist and cartographer based in Detroit and an adjunct professor at Wayne State University. He's with us to share his new book. It's called Great Lakes in 50 Maps.